translates, it's an embezzler.
It's like a Easter Russell Stover strawberry cream Easter. That's my favorite one. That's the one I always wanted. My parents always got me. And I remember taking bites of it and savoring it for like 2 weeks until my mom would say, the Easter basket needs to go away. And so eventually I'd have to finish that baby, which was not a problem. But I would take bites at it. And see, this is what it's saying here. It's saying that this enemy doesn't just come and say, hey, let me expose myself to you and show you all that I am, and I want you to receive it. No, he comes in, and he bites, and he chews, and he gnaws, and he to get to the core of who we are. Think about this. It's a false teacher. The enemy is someone who abuses humans' confidence. Think about that. Chew on that as you go out of the message today, in order to gain financially from them. See, as the world increases, and right now we're kind of in a pause of stuff being sold, those needs being met. And so what you see here is that the enemy wants to destroy us, not only us, but he wants to take and gain from us financially. Think about these two things if you look in Luke 16:9. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Now, that's a confusing scripture, yes. But what it's saying here is that sons of the world, think about it, are going to encourage you to receive their wealth so that when the time is done, when the time ceases for your life to be present here on earth, that you may be a part of their eternal dwellings. A thing that's on my mind a lot, because I don't want that. Then there's the sons of light, which are the opposite of that. Let's look at that really quickly. If you're on your device looking at it, just skip to the next one. Think about the sons of this world. They use unrighteous means. I think all of us, if we were realistic with ourselves, we could look back at a time when unrighteous means were used against us. A lot of times we're innocent in it. We don't even know it's happening. We don't even know what people are thinking, yet they're thinking that, and we didn't even know. Think about Jesus, the unrighteous means that were had on him. Think about the days previous to this, the beatings that he received. Think about the fact that he died first. He died before the other ones. And what's interesting is that there was nothing really against him. They have unrighteous desires. I think about the desires of the priest, the desires of the Sadducees at that time. They desired ill for Jesus. And see, Jesus tells us not to desire ill for our enemies. They have a desire for corruption. The enemy is inherently corrupt. And anything we hold on to, it's fascinating. We're watching this show. I'm not going to say the name of it. But last night, there was this conversation that was going on between two people that were just unrighteous, ungodly people, but they were talking about God. And then they were talking about their decision in it. And then the kind of conclusion was they both had gone down such a corrupt road that why would God desire, or why would I have a need to desire God? And I know it's just a show, but I think a lot of us in this day are thinking that. Well, I'm so far from him. Why would he? Well, why would he allow me to be a part of this health pandemic? Or why would he? And see, that's what the enemy does. Because he desires to cause corruption in our heart and break us down. Think about the sons of light. Oftentimes in the scriptures, we hear this idea of sons of light. And when you think about a son of light, we are sons and daughters of light. We are the people that have a true spiritual connection to the Lord. And see, it's our duty. It's our, I would hope that it's our goal. Today represents the goal of Christianity, which is to spread that life-giving power that resurrects the corrupt nature and brings it to a place that's holy. And when you think about it, we are stewards. We talked on Friday night about being the host, the presence, the place that God's presence resides. And see, sons of light, they hold on to good stewardship, genuine spiritual responsibility. It's that kind of spiritual responsibility where people, and I want you to think about this, this isn't about the outward, it isn't about what's seen, it's about what's unseen. And see, oftentimes people that are corrupt can't handle when godly people are doing the unseen. It's not about seeking reward here. It's about seeking reward in heaven. But see, evil people that don't desire and don't want to hear and don't want to know, and when you present it, they want nothing to do with it. Think about it. They're seeking to bring out into the light the things that we're doing for the kingdom. I want you to think here for a second. Sons of light are hidden in the shadow of him. So now we tie it back to last Sunday. And we say, okay, what do you mean here? Well, when you refer to this, sons of light stand behind, in, and are enclosed by the presence, by the nature, by the heart, by the whole being of who Jesus is. And then sons of light present Jesus. And then they can receive Jesus or not. And see, our heart today is that we would be a people that spread the word light. All right, so let's think about a couple more things. Let's really get into this, okay? And so I want to talk about Timothy for a second. I know I told you we're going to go through some scriptures, so if you're at home and you want to do a sword drill, or all of you that are sitting here on your devices on the phone, or on the which is what I would be doing, so that's good. I want you to just have fun with this. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 through 12, we're going to be looking at that, but I want you to think about these scriptures as I read them. Again, it's 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. And most of your titles will say, fight the good fight of faith. But as for you, and this is talking to us believers, as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. So think about this, and I kind of changed it up a little bit, but O man of God, flee. O woman of God, flee. O people of God, flee. What is it today that because of the resurrection, God is saying to you through the Spirit, I need you to flee this in your life so that you can embrace me more? Because I want you to have Zoe. I want you to stand in the shadow. I don't want you to have to stand on your own. And see, what he was saying to Timothy is that if we're men and women and people of God, we need to flee certain things that are not of him. And see, that's what Easter's about. He was resurrected so that we would have the opportunity to flee from things that destroy us, from things that corrupt us. But see, here's the thing. Fleeing always calls us to run to something. See, I think many of us, we flee from things, we get away from things, and yet we don't get far enough away. And we always have our eye, we've always got the scent, we've always got our something on that thing still. And Jesus is saying through his resurrection, that thing has no value. In fact, that thing doesn't bring about abundant life. So flee to me. I can't imagine when they got to the tomb and it was empty. And you say, well, this is so cliche, and we say it all the time. Here's what's interesting. If you think about the events, and we're not going to read them today, but you can, and I hope you will today. But as the women ran back, they realized he wasn't there. And women, that's kudos to you. And I always remind people, women were there at the cross. They were the ones weeping. They were the ones lamenting. And there they were, the first ones to go attend at the tomb. So check for our ladies. And so they were the first ones that got to experience this. And they went running. They fled from that place because no longer was that stone representing anything. All it did was remind us that he was dead, but now he's alive. All that does is remind us at one time we were in a grave, and now we sang about it this morning. And so they went back to the people that they knew, and what did they do? Knuckleheads. But anyway, Some said, oh my goodness. Some said, I mean, it's just like, come on, this everything that has been spoken all of eternity at this time, everything led to that moment, to that resurrection. There should have been a celebration. But church, we've got to run into him. And I think that we say that so simply, and we say, but it's got to be practical. See, when we practically leave something that he's saying, hey, I want you, when the women practically left with their body that empty tomb, he was saying to them, death now, not only does it not hold me, but it doesn't hold you either. We run into godliness, into faith, into love, steadfastness, gentleness, people that really hold on to who God is. So I want you to get this for a second. And so there's this translation here about life. And so take hold of the eternal life. And so if you look at the second part of Timothy here, it's actually going back to, and maybe you can have fun at home and try to describe or say that word, or you can just say what's in parentheses, which is vitalize. And so here it comes from the root. Now get this, because this is where it all ties together. This is the good part. If you're a good theologian and like this, you're going to enjoy this. It's the dozon, a live thing, one of the four angelic beings. So wait a minute, let me break this down for you. So what's happening in this verse is that he is saying to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life that the angelic beings who sit, if you read Revelation, and this is a little deep for some, but if you read Revelation, here Paul is saying, I'm talking about the beings, but wait a minute, that doesn't make sense because John didn't have the revelation. Well, Paul's a smart guy and he was connected to the Lord and he was understanding things before we understood them. And when we say that revelation isn't true, I'm telling you, it's referenced throughout the Bible. People knew things that they weren't expressing. They were experiencing things. And God, because of the resurrection, wants to do the same thing in you. When people ask you, do you know or how do you know? I know because he's revealing, he's active, he's living. And here we see Paul talking about beings he wasn't aware of yet. And if you read in Revelation, the Revelation, you will see that the four beings are described as what's right there by the throne worshiping God. And you know what they do? When they worship and bow, the 24 elders, they worship and bow, and then it goes on to heaven and everyone follows. Church, he was saying in this scripture that we are to have that kind of life, a life that's right there with the Lord, God Almighty, and that when God calls, because the call goes out if you read Revelation, that immediately we fall in worship. That is the kind of life. And so, yes, through a pandemic, through a war, through a disease, through the loss of, he is saying, have this kind of life that is seen and witnessed in heaven. And why? Because he's continuing to make us alive. Why? Because the resurrection said, no more. The resurrection said, this isn't the key anymore. Now we can live in full life to make alive. You're once dead. We were all once dead. And now, all of a sudden, we are alive. So let's just two more parts of this, and so stay with me. Do y'all like to confess stuff? Just say no at home. Kids especially, just say no, Mom and Dad, I don't. Because most of the time, confession comes with, you know, some stuff on the other side that you may not like. You know, our daughter is so sweet. She'll say, Dad, if I tell you this, what's going to happen? And I was like, honey, I don't know. You didn't tell me yet. And so when you tell me, I'll know. Most of the time, though, we know what she's going to say, just as the Lord knows what we're going to say, just waiting for us to come. And she'll say, well, you know, I say, honey, I know. Let's sit down and talk about it. Or sometimes I don't do it that way, right? I'm better, though, aren't I? I mean, I'm handling it much better. They're home a lot now. And so when I come home, it's like they've been waiting at night, and I'm like, oh, my word. But anyway, you confess something, it means to agree. Well, wait a minute. Okay, I want you to think about Jesus all week, from what we did last Sunday to now, this week, this holy week that we celebrate. Today's the epitome of it. And we understand that Jesus was a constant confession of who he was in the Trinity, of who he was as the Son of God, and he did not steer away from that. In fact, he didn't steer away from it, so much so that the people got upset and said, if this is true, then my place in the priesthood is no longer. Yeah, exactly. And Jesus said, but I still have to stand with my confession, and that is that I'm the Savior, the Messiah, the peace giver of this world. And that same confession went before Pontius Pilate. And so all of a sudden, he was agreeing with God, and we today agree with the Heavenly Father. So agreement comes with confession. Well, what are you saying? So the first confession is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be confessing our sins? No. First, you've got to confess that you believe. You've got to confess that he's true. You've got to confess that you want this life that Paul's instructing Timothy to tell the people, which is telling us today, because the words were meant to continue. So this word continues. And the first confession is that Jesus did not steer away from, even though people said he was crazy, even though they were upset with him, even though they were kind of sly and came at night to get him, because a lot of people, and we don't focus on this, but a lot of people were excited and they were standing behind him. And when Pentecost came, they were ready to hear it and they were ready to be saved and they were ready to be saved and accept a new life and go out. And many of them, probably a good portion of them, passed away for their faith. And so the question is today on this Easter Sunday, are you ready? Are you ready to confess that he is the resurrected, active, living Savior of the world? And then all of a sudden, when we confess that, we're bound with him. And so we get to this place of confession of sin. It removes these barriers. Easter removes barriers. The resurrection takes those things away. And I know on roads, those barrier things are necessary, especially when they're doing construction. But many a time, oh my goodness, can I tell this story? So there in Indiana, there's a lot of roundabouts, and I'm not used to that. I was used to that in Jersey. I'm not used to it because I've been in Texas for like 10 years. And about 3 months ago, right at the beginning of the year, I was just talking away. Imagine that. I was talking away. The kids were in the car, and there was a roundabout in Noblesville, and I just, my beautiful wife said, you need to go straight. To me, straight is like straight. If she says go straight and there's woods in front of me, I go straight. She's like, what are you doing? I meant curve. I'm like, but you said straight. So anyway, she said go straight instead of saying take the second, you know. And so I went straight. I popped up over the curb, popped across the grass, back down and went straight. Thank the Lord. And I mean, I'm talking, we bounced up and down. The kids were hysterical. And I just didn't let that barrier. And I'm talking like in a little minivan. And so that might be why the battery's been messed up, Jeff. I think I might have altered where it's positioned, because ever since then we've been having problems. So anyway, I went straight. And see, what Jesus did was he took the barrier away. He said, you don't need to go through that hump and through that. What I'm doing today is I'm making it so that you have a direct avenue, so that all the things that cause you from getting away from, man, you can just receive me. It removes the barriers that we have between other believers. It removes the darkness from our profession, our confession from Christ. Confession of our faith. And so not only do we need to confess our sins, but church, we should be out there confessing our faith. It binds believers to Jesus. It binds us together. It binds the church. And see, when the enemy tries to come in, and I don't care who he uses, he can use church people, he can use non-church people, when they start to get in and say, that's when the world says, well, what is the church all about? I thought Resurrection Sunday meant that they were bound together. And see, that's the enemy coming in. That's the enemy coming in and messing up the confession of our faith. I know right now there's a lot of thoughts of what some churches are doing, what some churches aren't doing, how they're handling the law, how they're handling authorities. And I am just standing with what God is speaking to my heart. We are just standing with what the Lord is speaking to our heart in this time. And we're praying that the message is continuing to go out. But church, if we want the unsaved, and I hope there are those that aren't saved on the line today, but if we want the unsaved to see us and say, hey, there is something there, where I can see that the resurrection is ever present on their mind. That is a bound together church confessing their faith in all they do, in all they say. And so, church people, we are the confession of the faith of Jesus Christ, unstained. And so, I want to go through some scripture. You got your Bibles again. I'm keeping you busy because you have nothing else to do but eat lunch, but that can hold off. And so 1 Peter 1:19, hold on to this. 1 Timothy 6:14, James 1:27. I'm going to say it again. 1 Peter 1:19, 1 Timothy 6:14, James 1:27. I can't even say it quick. But anyway, we're going to talk about unstained here. And so what does that mean? Aspilos means without spot, unstained, without blemish, spoken of Christ in three ways. And so I'm not going to read these scriptures, but what it's saying here is that Christ is these three things. And the scriptures remind us this. He is purity. Because of the blood of Christ, he provides us purity. He says, hey, when you're ready to take that step with me and confess me as Lord and Jesus, as Lord and Savior, and then you step into your walk with me, we're going to begin to look at purity. We're going to begin to take those blemishes away. We're going to begin to work on those things. And the process begins in 1 Timothy 6:14. The doctrine of Jesus Christ comes out to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in James 1:27, the moral conduct, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So I want you to think about this in reflection to you. So spoken for, you are. What do you mean? Well, Jesus, because of the resurrection, has spoken for you, meaning he wants you. He wants you to be a part of this life-giving power. He wants you to confess your sins. He wants you to believe. He wants you to accept salvation. And if you've accepted salvation, he wants you to continue on that journey. He wants to continue on that pure journey with him, where you're beginning to look at those things and saying, hey, this isn't like him. I'm gonna turn to and flee to. Because, and here are the Greek words for it. You can say them at home or have fun saying them. But here's what happens because of Easter Sunday. It means that whatever we've done that separates us from God, it's as if it never happened. So when we confess him with our mouths, it's as if it never happened. When we confess him with our mouths and we receive him, all of a sudden we're refreshed. I was thinking about Zest Fully Clean. Now that's a soap that I used as a kid. I'm sorry. But I just opened a bar this morning, and I had bought a bunch of that for the giveaway on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, I was like, oh my goodness, it smells like my childhood, because it was Dial soap, and it was Zest. And now I use body wash and all this stuff that doesn't have parabens and all that. I don't know. But anyway, I used to use that stuff, and so Mom and Dad, thank you. But Zest Fully Clean, and I was using it this morning. I thought, you know what? That's what Jesus does. Like this smell, this feel-good smell, he washes us. He refreshes us. He makes us new. He makes us good. He makes us useful, kind, and gracious. Not being gracious for gracious sakes or kindness just to be kind, but kind because you're in your heart saying, where are they with Christ? What's their eternity look like? What's their hope? And then all of a sudden to make holy, blameless. Now you're in a place where you just want more of him. And no longer is it about you being alone at home, but you're thinking, you know what, if I'm alone and I'm feeling this and I've got God right here, who is it that feels alone? How can I minister and reach them? And then all of a sudden we realize that because we're spoken for, because of the cross, we are valuable. Church, you are valuable. The lost are valuable. So, last week, you'll hear me talk about Zoe. Next week, we'll be in a totally different avenue going through the book of Amos. Zoe, what does life mean to you? Praise team, I'm going to ask you if you'll come forward. We're going to do something special. We're blessed to have a special musical opportunity you're going to get to share with us. And we're so glad to have Kevin here today. But Zoe, what does life mean to you? Free from reproach. Inculpable above, free from, to be seized but not be apprehended. So think about this scene really quick. So you're there in front of the Lord. Your time has come, and this is one of those dramatic scenes, right? We hear pastors talk about them, and I think in my mind, I'm going to think about all the things that he's put into the sea of forgetfulness. And see, what today means is that even though we're guilty of those things, for some reason, those things aren't going to be brought up. Why? Because the accusation that was put on Jesus, that was false, that wasn't true, that wasn't accurate, really it kind of was, because he took on ours. And so today we know that because of Easter, we're free to have abundant life connected to him like the beings in heaven. And I pray that's you today. But if it's not, then it is not well with you. And my desire, our desire, is that today, as you go out, and I've said this a million times, it needs to be well with your soul. And because of Easter, it is well with mine. And so, church, I know you're at home, and we're all in different places, and as we sing, this is an opportunity, and parents, grandparents, this is an opportunity to get with your family and say, hey, turn to the left, turn to the right. Is it well with your soul? And if it's not, kids, grandkids, spouse, grandparent, uncle, aunt, friend, let's get to the place where it is well with our souls.
Like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is.
God, we thank you for this day, for this Resurrection Sunday. We thank you that this morning it is well with our souls. And Lord, if it isn't, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that you would go down and be with that person. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus today that even though we're isolated, God, that they would reach out to us. We can't know all, and so, Lord, I just pray that you would remind them that there are people that love and care for them. Not as much as you do, but, Lord, I pray today that you would minister and move. Let us not forget this day and what it means. God, let this just be an increase to our faith. Keep our people safe. God, continue to be with those facing this pandemic. And God, keep our people healthy, safe, and serving you. And Lord, let us keep our eyes focused on you, because today you are risen. You are risen indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have an incredible Easter.
I'm still in your hands. This is my calling.